5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, where we've always got you covered with the biggest and the very best in sports. And tonight we're going to lead off our program with some NBA talk. We're going to go under the playoff microscope and focus our attention on the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Clippers series, and also there's been a number of other hot topics we'll talk about in the world of the NBA. So right now it's such a pleasure to welcome back to our program. She is a Basketball Hall of Famer, the pre- and post-game analyst for the Oklahoma City Thunder, the great Nancy Lieberman. Hi, Nancy. Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Friday night.
It is always a pleasure to be on your show. You're absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that a great deal. And, of course, here in a moment, I want to get your analysis on the Clippers-the Thunder series, how that has played out. But last weekend, we celebrated Mother's Day, and I very much would love for you to share with our listeners tonight just kind of your perspective, your thoughts on that very powerful MVP acceptance speech by KD. What was your takeaway?
Well, are you meaning how many times I cried? it was so emotional for me. I have to tell you, every time I saw it, just knowing Kevin and getting to be around him the last couple of years and to be friends with Wanda, we played golf together. I was in charge of picking out her golf outfit at the pro shop last summer at a Kendrick Perkins golf event that we both played in. I have such love and respect for Wanda Pratt and how she conducts herself and just how she took her children and help mold them into great men.
And of course, yeah, as you were saying, you know, Wanda Pratt, she really is a woman of inspiration. I personally, I mean, I'm a product of divorce. I mean, I have a sincere appreciation for single parents, for single mothers. I just think that there was a very powerful message there about how essential it is to be engaged as a parent and to be involved. I mean, our show is much more than just about sports. I mean, sports is life.
Well, I can remember talking to Wanda last year, and I said, Wanda, how come I'm not seeing you at all the games? And she goes, sometimes in life you have to let your young man grow into the man he's going to be. And at that time, you know, KD was, engaged to Monica Wright. And
that's right.
Wanda really has a tremendous gift of humility, perspective, knowing when to be front and center, knowing when to take a step back. And these are very amazing moments in our children when you kind of have to let them go to be the people that they're supposed to be, but for them to also know that you're right there for them, because they're trying to carve out their own identity and their own decision making. And it's a tough balance because we as parents, we want to protect our children, but we also have to let them live life and face realities of decisions. And I was so impressed with Wanda and how she viewed that. And she just loves her kids. And I dig her because I you're a mom. I'm a mom. Many of your listeners are parents. It's a tough balance for us sometimes.
There's no doubt about that. Hey, we are visiting with Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And one of the things I just have to say and share, Nancy, is that it is hard to believe that Kevin Durant is only 25. I mean, obviously, this is a young man who knows who he is. He has that maturity, that leadership. But one of the things that my takeaway from his speech was that he could have focused, you know, on his own achievements and his accolades. Obviously, we've already highlighted and talked about that he paid tribute to his mother, but how he single singled out each one of his teammates and really tipped his hat to them. I loved especially what he said to Caron Butler.
Yeah, I have been around sports for a long time, as you know. I've never seen anybody be that conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember any time during the speech where he uttered any of the words relating to his own career and his own success. But again, in all the interviews that Wanda's done, I have yet to see Wanda say anything about herself or take any of the glory. You know, they give the glory to God, they give the glory to other people. And there's something to say about the extraordinary humility that this family has. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Nancy Lieberman with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Here in a moment, we're going to break down the Clippers, the Oklahoma City series. But, you know, Nancy, you've been a single parent, and you've raised just a remarkable young man in TJ, and he's 6'7". That's hard to believe, but he's gone on to have a great collegiate career and is now at the University of Richmond. We've got a lot of parents tuning in tonight. I mean, what kind of advice would you give them about, you know, there's always those struggles, those challenges that, you know, as a parent, but what advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, I'm not in the business of giving advice to parents. I think we talk to each other about what's worked and what hasn't worked. So we have a little bit more perspective. You know, I always try with TJ to make sure that he has a decision, some skin in the game. I've told him his whole life to trust his instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. If TJ's friends say, hey, dude, let's go in the car and go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger, you go, okay. If his friends are in the car and they go, dude, we're smoking weed and we're drinking beers, and then we're going to go to McDonald's, if something makes you pause, stop, and think, that's your, you know, instinct telling you don't do that. And I always tell TJ, just respect, if something makes you stop and think, that right there could be your clue that that's probably what you should not be doing. And I want him to be aware of that. And I trust my son, but I also have to help him because every decision is not going to be the right decision. And we have to, you know, kids don't want finger pointed at them. You have to talk to them as mm-hmm. adults. I don't ever threaten TJ, like, you better not do this because then we lose them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was really cool. I did this once. I was on the First Lady Sports Drug Awareness Program, and the DEA agents at Quantico put me through a series of decisions, and they gave me a great kind of play where a husband comes home, you know, or excuse me, a son comes home and he's been drinking, and the mother and dad go, how many times have I told you not to do this? Blah, blah, blah. You go to your room, and don't you... And they threaten and they punish the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the second scenario. Dad comes home late, he's been drinking, and the wife goes, honey, what's wrong with you? I mean, you've been drinking. Did you have a bad week? Are you okay? You know, and now there's a different way to handle that situation. And we have to be mindful. We have to be firm, but we also have to be fair.
It is already time to take our first commercial break. Stay close. We'll be rejoined with Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Clippers. Hey, we are talking with Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer. She's the analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to break down that series right now, and we're going to hit on a number of other hot topics at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, what a series it has been, Nancy, between the Clippers and the Thunder. So dramatic and chaotic, I would say. Certainly, both of these teams at times have had to make really big rallies to win down this stretch. Just weigh in on this.
Well, first of all, I didn't know Six Flags was open this early in the year. I mean, that roller coaster ride.
Right. Good one, Nance, okay.
There have been times I've thrown my arms up and went, woo!
Yeah.
And then there's times I'm like, no! But, you know, to be able, you know, they play the game out in L.A. and they have a 16-point lead with 9 minutes to go, and the Thunder lose that lead because you have one team playing desperate and one team just playing solid.
In game four.
And,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, conversely, the game the other night, you know, we're down 13 points with 3 minutes to go, and the Thunder were playing desperate and have heightened the energy and the intensity on the defensive end. And, you know, they just have great players who make great plays. I mean, Durant's three. Russell Westbrook is just an absolute joy. I don't care. I would sit in a room with everybody that is his detractor, and I would look him in the eye and say, if I were coaching, I would want Russell on my team.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna make some mistakes, but he's gonna make more better plays than mistakes because he's pushing it and he's given everything he has. I have never seen a game where Russell Westbrook didn't play his heart out, and he might make mistakes. I mean, people play through my mistakes all the time.
You know, I look at his stat line from Game 2 versus the Clippers. I mean, 31 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. I mean, he's a different kind of cat. And in fact, I was listening to the Sports Animal up in Oklahoma City earlier this week, and one of the guests on there, the analyst, Pat Jones, he compared Russell Westbrook to a Barry Sanders. I mean, that kind of athlete.
He's very unique. We have never seen anybody like him in the history of the NBA. Last year, we did a combination. I did a really kind of neat chart, almost like a growth chart, and I had to the side, I had John Stockton and Magic Johnson and Nate Archibald and Isaiah Thomas and Oscar Robertson, and that he's all rolled into one. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's quick, he's tenacious, he's not afraid of you, he's coming after you, he's pushing his teammates. I'm a fan, I'm telling you. I'm just a fan of the young man.
You know, and Nancy, too, when you spend time around him, I mean, he's so quiet. But then once he gets on that, you know, on the court, he just flips the switch. I mean, he's a totally different kind of personality, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really very kind, very aware, you know, very socially conscious young man. As Leslie McCaslin was saying, he's the only guy when she walks in with a certain bag and shoes, and Russell says, haven't you worn those shoes before?
That is conscientious.
I mean, who says that? But Russell is so aware of his surroundings. He's a genius. He's an artist. And I don't think people sense that yet. He really has those qualities.
Okay, Nancy Lieberman with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Tell of our listeners nationally, Nancy, where they can go and check you out online. And I know you've got some basketball camps coming up too, don't you?
I do. Can you believe it's my 34th year of basketball camp?
You're timeless. You look beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. It is crazy. So we have, it's in Frisco, Texas at Fieldhouse USA, but I have a week in June, a week in July, a week in August. We teach, we have fun, we laugh, but we make you better. And kids should enjoy what they're doing or they won't do it very long. And we love on these children as if they were my sons and my daughters. We've had so many kids go on to play college basketball or, you know, kids that are just starting out. We'll put them in their appropriate age and ability group, and the kids are so smart. They can learn. They will come in on a Monday and leave at the end of the week, and they'll be so much better because we talk to them. We don't talk over their heads. But I teach them the same things that I teach our NBA guys or when I'm at, you know, NBA coaches clinics, whether I'm teaching Delonte West or Trey Burke. The only difference is the age and ability. So we use positive trigger words. We want to build their confidence and their self-esteem, all the while enhancing their talent. Because you know what, E? We want these kids to go on, if they can, to college, to get scholarships. I mean, look at my kid. He's a scholarship athlete. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. If your kid gets a scholarship to college, are you kidding?
That's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. And my son, Steven, he was a part of your camp a couple years ago. In fact, he was hitting me up, too. He's like, Mom, I'd like to make the junior high team. So I'd like to go up to Nancy's camp again, coach's camp again. So let's back up for just a moment as we have just a few more minutes at Yahoo Sports Radio. We were talking about the Thunder, and going back to Game 4, we were talking about the Thunder had given up 38 points. We've seen lapses defensively with them this year. What kind of corrections need to take place as they look to move forward?
Most importantly, you have to stay locked in mentally 48 minutes. And, you know, as you the greatest part of maturation as a player is playing hard for longer periods of time. So as a coach, you want to break it down into these three-minute games so there's an emphasis on what you do, you know, mentally and physically. So the Thunder, they have the talent. They just, when they get a big lead, they have to be able to have that, assassin's mentality and not let down and go, we got this. You really do have to play buzzer to buzzer. And that's the only way you finish teams off. And you have to have that, killer mentality. I hate to put it in such drastic terms. But kids are taught that at camp. We teach kids at camp to finish. You can have skill and you can have will, but you also have to have a finisher's mentality. And, kids are taught that at young age, high school, college, and now with the pros. Sometimes they get it more than other times. That's just the reality of it.
And I think whether it's been the Clippers or the Thunder, I mean, there's been some tough lessons that have had to be learned in these particular games or just straight across the board. I mean, no lead is safe. I mean, we saw the Wizards blow a 19-point lead in the loss to the Pacers.
Because these are professionals. There are professional scorers in this league. And you can just knock out, 10, 15 points. Look what happened in the Miami Heat game. The Nets had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go. And, LeBron hits a three. Ray Allen hits a three. And everybody's going, I can't believe they let them do it. They didn't let them do anything. These guys are really, really good. And that's why you have to be on your A game, because there is so much talent in the NBA. And I love this game, and I love everything about what the Thunder, what they represent, what they do on the court, off the court. They're not perfect. They're going to miss some shots. They're going to lose some games. But they're always in the hunt. They always have an opportunity to win because they play defense, and Scott Brooks and his staff, they do a remarkable job of preparing these guys.
Well, Nancy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio. And, of course, you can check out all of her stuff at nancylieberman.com. And have fun with the camps. And, Nance, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much for the time.
No, it's my pleasure. And if any of your listeners want any questions about the playoffs, they can tweet me at Nancy Lieberman.
We love Twitter. Okay, much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Okay, welcome back to the Quicken Loans Studios at Yahoo Sports Radio. And it is hard to believe that the 2014 NBA Draft will be here before you know it. And so it is time to visit with our good friends at RF Sports, rfsports.com up in Dallas. We also are going to take time to relive the Dallas Mavericks season and also a preview what are going to be some of their positional needs. So it's a pleasure to welcome in tonight Rodney Fisher from RF Sports. Hi, Rodney. Good evening. It's good to have you with us on this Friday night.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
First and foremost, I want to get your takeaways on San Antonio's dominance in the second round against Portland, because all I can say is you really have to give a lot of credit to the Mavericks, because they took them 7 games before they could eliminate the Dallas Mavericks team. It really prepped them for this particular series. Would you agree?
I would agree totally. I think the players agree with that as well. Even Coach Popovich said, or kind of alleviated towards that during the press conference with Portland. When you have a team that wins so many games in the regular season and able to rest the players like they were able to, if they can come out in the series and have a tough series right off the bat and win a critical Game 7, a must-win Game 7, that's the best way, I think, for any team to prepare for a long playoff run. And when they flipped the switch in Game 7 and beat the Mavs the way they did, the switch stayed on for the entire series. So I would agree with you. I think the Mavericks got them ready for a long run.
Were you surprised, though, in that particular series with the Spurs and the Trailblazers, that it wasn't a little bit closer? Especially, there was so much excitement after watching Damian Lillard hit that game-winning shot against Houston.
Well, I was surprised, especially for Games 1 and 2, the way the Spurs came out. Now, I was looking forward, like everyone else, to a Tony Parker versus Damian Lillard matchup, LaMarcus Aldridge versus Tim Duncan matchup. But then when you sit back and think about it, after looking at the entire series now, this is typically what the Spurs do. They're just a well-oiled machine. The way they run offense, the way they play defense. Now you can look back and say, well, this is what the Spurs are supposed to do with a team like Portland being so young, and in the playoffs with a coach that's pretty young coaching the playoffs. But I was surprised in Games 1 and 2 that they were not that competitive.
Hey, we are going one-on-one with Rodney Fisher of RF Sports, rfsports.com. They've got some great stuff on their website. We want to encourage you to go and to check that out. And the other thing, too, about San Antonio, you talk about their starting five, but their bench really did come alive, and they have been so critical. And I certainly see them making a run to the finals.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You look at Marco Bellinelli and the contributions that he's had in this series, and then especially Patty Mills. You know, Coach Popovich joked this year about how he didn't play him as much last year because he was fat. He was overweight. Well, he came back in this season after the offseason losing some weight and played some critical minutes to back up for Tony Parker in both playoff series, and he's been a big difference maker for the team.
Okay, Rodney Fisher with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So let's step back for just a moment. Obviously, you're up there in Dallas. I see you at all the Maverick games. What is your overall assessment of how the season did play out for the Mavericks? And we're going to talk about, too, what are the next steps now for this franchise to move forward and to get back to contending for a championship?
Well, you look at the season, I consider the season to be a big success. You know, they started the season with one goal in mind, and that was to make it back into the playoffs after missing it by one game the previous year. And they had a new roster. They finally got some guys they signed for a longer period of time instead of one-year deals. That was a big concern for the front office as well as their superstar, Dirk. So I consider their season to be a big success. Forcing seven games against the top seed in the Western Conference is a success as well. But they've got a lot of question marks going into the offseason. Who's going to come back? How are they going to fill some of these holes? You know, they've got Dirk as a free agent, which we all know he's coming back to Dallas, but they've got to get a deal done with him and for how long and how much money. They got to figure out if they're going to be bringing back guys like Vince Carter, Sean Marion, these veteran guys. And Cuban is a type of owner that wants a veteran presence in the locker room, but these are tough decisions. So they got to figure out how many veterans they're going to keep, how they're going to rebuild to kind of build a roster with younger, talented players, because they know Dirk is on his last 2 to 3 years of playing. So they've got a lot of question marks in this offseason, and I'm anticipating them going after some younger talent. I don't think they're going to do a lot in the draft, but I think they will try to be very, very active on the free agent market.
Well, Ronnie, certainly a lot of curiosity on my part in terms of who they will bring back with their free agents. Obviously, the centerpiece you just talked about in terms of Dirk. But I thought it was very interesting, even after Game 7 against the San Antonio Spurs, how Rick Carlisle talked about what it will take in order for them to get back to contending for a championship. And the word he used was continuity. They've got to be able to have that. It's important to have your template in place and then to be able, as you're talking about, surrounding yourself with younger players and to be able to build and move forward and not have a continual revolving door.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's something that they've wanted ever since they won the championship in 2011. They wanted a team that they can really build or core base they can build around. I think the building blocks that they added with Jose Calderon, Monte Ellis, I think those were solid building blocks to start with. You know Dirk's coming back, so that's one piece you can fill. But I think that they were looking more from guys like Jay Crowder when they drafted him. Of course, with Bernard James, I think they will try to find some younger players to add to that core because, let's face it, you look at guys like Vince Carter, who was able to turn back the clock in that series against the San Antonio Spurs. We don't know if he's going to decide to maybe go back to Florida where he has a home in Orlando, or if you hear interest from the Toronto Raptors about bringing him back to help them in their playoff push for next year. You look at guys like Sean Marion, who has a home in Miami. And players like LeBron, they appreciate guys like Sean Marion to come in and play for a veteran minimum and help them continue to win. So there's a lot of question marks, and I just hope they decide to go ahead and go younger because they do need to start thinking about the future, a long-term kind of plan versus this next season.
You know, Rodney, I'm not sure if you've been keeping up with, you know, some of these younger talent that's going to be coming in and declaring themselves for the NBA draft. And, what type of player would you like to see to be able to come into with the Mavericks and not only to make an impact but to help them improve defensively? It's got to start on the defensive end.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, when they brought in Sammy Dallenberg in the offseason, who knew he was going to be able to – we thought he played defense, but he did a great job defending against guys like Tiago Splitter, even Tim Duncan. So they do need a defensive presence, especially down low, even more so on the perimeter as well, too. Hopefully with Devin Harris, if they can get him back, you know, he's coming back off of that toe injury. He did very well towards the late part of the season.
He was fantastic in game one against the Spurs. He was awesome.
Yeah,
I agree.
If we get him back, that'd be great. but you look at the draft right now, and it is loaded with young talent. This has got to be one of the better drafts I've seen over the last 5 years. They're loaded right in the first round, And even the second round, they could find some gold in the second round, too.
You know, we're talking about the front line for the Dallas Mavericks, Samuel Dalembert, DeJuan Blair. Let's kind of do an assessment of the job that Brandon did this year, Brandon Wright. I thought that he had a very nice season.
I thought he had a great season. He's one of those players that keeps improving, and I'm glad he's going to be here next season as well. If he can continue on the trajectory that he's on and keep moving his skill level up and up and up, and Carlisle starts to trust him a lot more and giving him more minutes, he could be a very solid piece, not just defensively, but offensively as well. You saw him really be a high-flying act for the Mavericks. You know, he was the guy that caught all the alley-oops for Devin Harris. So if he can come back and have a good offseason, come back as a better player, he's going to be an integral part of that offense and defense next season.
Okay, Rodney Fisher has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check out their stuff at rfsports.com. Rodney, give us a little bit of a sampling of some of the stuff that you and your father have on your site.
Well, absolutely. We're doing a big thing about the NBA draft, so you guys can get information about that there. Of course, we'll be covering the finals and the Western Conference finals as well. So anything NBA, you guys can find us there. And I wanted to say thank you for having us on, and look forward to coming back again.
Hey, we've got actually about another couple minutes. What has been your impression so far of the playoffs?
My impression so far is that, you know, the Western Conference is so tough. And
yes,
after you've seen what the Spurs have been able to do against the Blazers, you have to have them as a favorite to win the whole thing. You know, the way you watch them play, I think they've faced some adversity. They've overcome that. In the Eastern Conference, I'm watching Miami, and I'm looking at how they're winning and not really facing any adversity. They only lost one game out of two series that they won. Now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. So that kind of scares me a little bit because they haven't faced a very, very tough team yet. So depending on who wins, and, of course, Indiana's not a shoo-in to win right now, but depending on where they get a challenge from, I want to see how they react to that challenge. I want to see a team kind of push them to the brink and see how they respond. And I think the Spurs are going to be that team in the finals.
Rodney Fisher with RF Sports, rfsports.com, has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Always a pleasure, and I will see you again real soon, hopefully up at the draft, okay?
All right, thank you.
Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, we're back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and we are continuing to break down and dissect the 2014 NFL Draft. And what about the Big 12 Conference? To be honest, the Big 12 did not get the type of attention that it is accustomed to. 32 of the first round picks, and what, only two selections were used on the Big 12 players. And obviously, big news, Texas did not have a player taken in this year's draft. A complete shutout. And that's what we're going to get into in our next conversation. I'm very confident our next guest will be able to provide some perspective. He is one of the truly the best in the business. That is James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider, and I know he's ready to tackle a number of topics. How are you, James?
Doing great, E. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I enjoyed being on your show last week. It was a lot of fun talking some NBA.
Of course, you know, that Thunder Clippers series has a lot of emotion with Oklahoma fans because Blake plays, you know, for the Clippers. And not only that, Chris Paul was a patron saint. When he was here with the Hornets, man, Chris was everywhere, came on everybody's radio show, including mine. I mean, he was just golden, and it's hard to root against those guys, but sometimes you have to.
Well, James, we are going to be short on time, so we do have to get right to it and talk about some NFL. And what was your anticipation and really your projections heading into this year's draft as far as how well the Big 12 would do?
Well, I thought they'd do a lot better than they did. So, I mean, 17 guys picked from the Big 12 is not a good year. And when Texas gets shut out, it's not a good year. It doesn't do any good for the perception of the Big 12 when the SEC doubles you up in the amount of players taken. Now they have more teams, I understand that. But, you know, they had, you know, first-round draft choices, multiple ones. And, you know, and it's, you know, it's just a disappointing year. Texas getting shut out will always hurt the Big 12 in the draft because they've always been one of the main suppliers of NFL talent, and this year they just didn't get anybody. Now, I was shocked Jackson Jeffcoat didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. I think he's a real talented player. There's a reason why Mack and his staff got fired, and that's one of the reasons why. They just didn't develop talent like they really should. So, you know, that's a disappointment. There's no doubt about that. You know, and, you know, Oklahoma, their main players were injured. I mean, if Aaron Colvin had been, you know, he tore his ACL in the Senior Bowl of all things. And if they would have, you know, if he would not have been injured, he would have been a second-round draft choice, I'm pretty confident. Trey Millard was maybe the best player pound for pound on the team. Tremendous talent, tore his ACL like in the seventh game of the year. He went in the seventh round. I think he would have gone in the third or fourth round if he had been healthy. And so you had Jalen Saunders, who went early in the fourth round to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it from Oklahoma, you know. And I think one of the surprise guys, Corey Nelson, going in the seventh round, just really proved out what the coaches have been saying about him for a long time, that he was a really good football player and an NFL talent. He tore his bicep during the year. But overall, it's a disappointing year. But look at the makeup of the league, E. And when you do, if Oklahoma and Texas doesn't produce most of the talent, you know, you're not going to have it. This year, the highest player to come out was Gilbert at Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple of years, they played him as a part-time player because he was so inconsistent. So he's a great return guy, but at times at corner, you know, they wanted a lot more out of him. So it's just one of those years, Texas and Oklahoma, they've got to have frontline talent because normally it's not coming from Kansas. It's not coming from Iowa State. Kansas State every once in a while. Texas Tech has a few players, usually not frontline players. I mean, Crabtree was, you know, kind of an anomaly at wide receiver. So it's kind of how the Big 12 is shaped right now, that Oklahoma and Texas have to produce.
The senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can also listen to him online at 1400 KREF right there in Norman, Oklahoma. So let's step back for a moment. James, let's quickly recap. You were talking about the SEC, how they led the way, 49 drafted. What? The ACC with 42 and the Pac-12 with 34. Why do you think, though, out of the Big 12 conference that it was a weak senior class? Is that fair to say?
Well, I just think that football is a little bit down in the Big 12 right now. You know, what does Iowa State really give the conference? Kansas, what are they really giving the conference? Texas Tech got off to that great start, and then they wilted in the end. Heck, you've had four quarterbacks leave the program. I know they've got a commitment from one of the nation's best in Jared Stidham, but still, that's a lot of weird things that are going on there. You know, Oklahoma finished up strong, but you know, Oklahoma's senior class again, you know, injured. Millard injured, Colvin injured.
Right.
Saunders a little undersized. If Saunders had 2 more inches and 15 more pounds, he'd have been maybe a first round draft choice. He's a definite playmaker. Mm-hmm. It's a shock Gabe Eichert didn't go in the draft. Gabe was an All American, academic All American, one of those guys that every coach dreams of coaching. In the battles he lost as a junior, he came back and won as a senior against some of the top defensive linemen in the country, yet he didn't go in the draft, and that's a shock to me. So, yeah, I guess you could say there wasn't great senior talent in the conference, but to be honest with you, E, I don't think it was a great year for Big 12 football. And what you hope is that they're recruiting all the schools, and they're going to they're bringing in better talent. I think OU had one of those classes that they've got a lot of wow guys coming in, like Joe Mixon and Micaiah Quick. Couple of those guys, Samaji Perine, right out of Pflugerville, down there by where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so, you know, I think that's what has to happen for the Big 12 to get back on top of things. And, of course, Texas, for Big 12 luster, I'm not saying that this is what Oklahoma wants or what Oklahoma fans want, but for Big 12 luster, Texas has to be good.
Well, and Charlie Strong, his time at Louisville, he had four players that were drafted in the first round. I mean, that was incredible. Okay, so I have to tell our audience, of course, you are truly one of the best evaluators in the business when you talk about college prep talent. What was your overall assessment of this year's rookie class, and what players do you see immediately coming in and being impact players for their respective teams?
If we're talking about freshmen coming in?
Yeah.
Well, at Oklahoma, I mentioned Mixon and Quick, and I think both those guys, and Perine, I think all three of those guys will have a chance to make an immediate impact at OU. I think Mark Andrews, a wide receiver, will have a chance to make an immediate impact at OU as well. He's a big receiver, that's 6'7" coming in. Some people recruited him as a wide receiver, but you know he's kind of that hybrid tight end wide receiver type guy. I think Tyreek Hill, a guy that just won the indoor, finished second in the indoor 60 meters that's, you know, it's a football player that can really run is going to have an impact at Oklahoma State, you know, and comes in. I guess, you know, Hurd at Texas, you know, has a great chance too. You know, it's, I don't know who's going to quarterback the Texas Longhorns with word today that the transfers from Southern Cal, you know, may not go there now. So you're just sitting there going, wow, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. You know, so I think that's some of the marquee talent right there. I mean, Texas had one of the top five or six recruiting classes in the country. You know, so I think it's going to be, you know, I think that a lot of good linemen are coming into the conference. That's very apparent. Each team seemed to have a guy come in that they think is, you know, one of the better linemen in the country. And, you know, and everybody seemed to be coming in with one of those guys that they feel like can really be, you know, do well. But marquee quarterbacks, you know, what quarterbacks are coming into the conference, that's still a key thing, I think. You know, Baker Mayfield transferring from Tech to Oklahoma. Oklahoma brought in Justice Hansen as well. Hurd, of course, won a bunch down at Texas. Those are kind of going to be the key things, I think, that kind of rebuilds this conference when it comes to overall talent.
You're listening to the voice of James Hale at Yahoo Sports Radio at the Big East Sports Show. He is, as I just said, the senior writer with OU Insider. James, tell all of our listeners tonight where they can go and check out your magazine.
Oh, it's OUinsider.com, and, of course, you can always listen at Sports Talk 1400, The Ref.
Okay, James, we've only got about a minute, but I did want you to weigh in on Jameis Winston. His father says that, what, he needs better supervision at his school?
Well, his father has to realize, you know, school can only do so much, and all parents have to realize that. You're not going to be around these kids 24-7, and coaches can't be around them 24-7 either. That's why when kids get in trouble and everybody wants to blame the coach, I never blame the coach. I mean, if the coach lays down his laws, and he says, don't do this, this, and this, and this. Be a good citizen. You know what you got to do to be a good citizen. You know what you can and can't do. But they tell him anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, no drugs, no drinking, don't get DUIs, no drinking, no DNI. Treat women with respect. Treat your fellow man with respect. You know, you got to do all these things. And if you do and stay eligible, you're going to be able to play for us and get a free education while you're here. And yet, players still go out and do all those things that they told them not to do.
It's been very interesting to follow and track that story. Well, James, always a pleasure to have you on with us on a Friday night. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward, the start of the college football season will be here before you know it.
Still a couple of months down the road, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, James, thanks so much for dropping by.
Appreciate it, Big E.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.